Today's daf in the Sechet Shavuot brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh. This is daf Mem Tes. And we're actually having our closing daf to the Masechet. Okay, so we did discuss all of these dinim about when you are mechuyev to take a shvua, but remember that we have two completely different types of responses to somebody who is nishba b'shek. So we had our first parakim, we're dealing with a type of shvua that you would be chayev, a oila v'yored. Remember, so that's how we opened up, that we even included things that were in the parsha of oila v'yored, like the tumas mikdash v'kedosha, and that was like sort of the theme of the opening. So we talked about the shvuas ha'edus, and we talked about shvuas bitui, and then we moved on to shvuas ha'pikadayim, and over there is no chiyuv of an oila v'yored. There is a chiyuv of a korban asham, and which has all various different, very important different dinim. And we never discussed, actually, the other chiyuv, which was also the tashlum of a chomesh. And that is all limited, remember, specifically to special din that doesn't apply earlier to the Olav Yored issues. And this was the incredible things that we just learned recently in Parshas Nasai, the incredible fact that you have to do teshuva. You're not chayev unless you do teshuva. So that's vihitvadu et avonam. This is the mokar, remember, the astounding mokar of the chiyev of shvua, according to the Rambam, is vihitvadu et avonam, is the parsha of the shvua on a pikadain, kfiras mamain, and the same parsha is the parsha of Gezel Ager. That's the mokar of the dinim of shuva. Incredible, right? So we never discussed exactly where that type of chiyuv comes about, because a person can take a shvua, which on one hand could be a shvuat pikadon, but if it doesn't meet all the criteria of a shvua of pikadon, it might become a shvuas bitui alone, and not a shvuas pikadon, and then it would switch from being a chiyuv of a korban asham to being a chiyuv of a korban oila v'yored. Weird. So it all sort of depends on the small print. Now, remember, the small print is very clear. I forgot to press record on this. Okay. So the small print is very clear. Namely, the shvuat ha'pikadon has to be a shvua that makes the difference of whether you're chayev or potter. So if it doesn't make any difference, so that one way or the other you'd be potter, whether you had made the shvua or not, or one way or the other you're chayev, whether you made the shvua or not, then it ceases to be a shvuas ha'pikadon. And now we're going to have to discuss, does that make it a shvuas bitui? And now you're chayev a korban oila v'yored on the denial. We'll talk about that as we go along. Now, the best way to bring this out is to put that discussion smack bang in the middle of where the Torah puts the discussion, which is not the place I ever would have thought to find that discussion. Where was that? It was smack bang in the middle of the parsha of the Shomrim in Mishpatim. We're over there. We were in the middle of saying, you know, v'nikrav ba'alabayit el Elohim im lo shalach yado malachet re'eu. And now all of a sudden we find Asher Yomar Ki Huzeh. What's that Ki Huzeh? Must be we're putting in over here a din of Maid of a Mikzas. Wow-wee. So our Masechet, as usual, Rabbeinu HaKadosh always takes his cue from the way that the Torah is Mesadar the Dinim, and he takes apart all of the Dinim of the Shemrim and uses them in order to indicate when something would be a Shvuat HaPikadon and when it would not. And that throws in, of course, the difference between whether Adam came to be Machayev you, in which case there is no Chiyev on a Shvuas HaPikadon, because you weren't Moda on your own, and you didn't do Teshuva, and there was no Hitvadu, or the cases where you were Mitvada on your own. So in order to put this all together, we take all of the cases of the various Shemrim, which you think, gosh, I thought we dealt with that back in Bava Metzia. Yes, we did, but now we're going to be talking about the Chiyev Asham and Chomesh, which has entirely is part of Besar and Shavuos, and therefore we're going to go over all of these dinim in the context of Masechet Shavuos, put it all together and lay it out for you, so that if you just had read that single pasuk, little would you have suspected that there are two whole Masechtas based on that pasuk, and I'm going to just spread it out for you, okay? So it's a lot of fun. So just remember that there are Ba'ah Shomrimi. We have four different Shomrim. Shomer Chinam, that's one extreme. That Shomer Chinam, he's not really chayev on very much except for negligence. So that would only be if he's Poshea. Then we have the opposite extreme. The opposite extreme is the Shoel. So he's a borrower. He's responsible for everything, even lightning strikes, even if it's none of his business, because he stands in the place of the owner now. And if the owner would have taken the hit, now he's going to be taking the hit. That's the point. That was a reference to the lightning hit, and it's a reference to this parsha that whole thing came about, take the hit. That's not just stupid. That's based on the Mishnah. Now, there's also two cases in between those extremes. And those two cases are the Noseh Sachar and the Socher, which our Mishnah assumes is actually what we're going to see is about Machlokes. But our mission assumes that the chiyuvim of a nosei socher, which we always call a shomer socher, so he's being paid in order to watch, and the socher, somebody who's renting, the Mishnah holds, is the same chiyuv. Later on, we're going to ask, so why are there four shomer, and then there's really only three. And here's the deal. Shomer chinam is nishba ala kol. The Shomer Chinam swears about anything at all that happened that he was not poshe and it wasn't his fault. And thereby, he is poter. And the Shoel, he can't swear about anything. He's going to have to pay no matter what happened. He is mishalem et hakol. As far as the middle is concerned, the Nosei Socher and the Socher, so then what they would swear on is something that's not their fault. So, for instance, ala shvura, the animal broke its leg. Ala shvuya, a bunch of goyim came and drove away with his animal and captured it. Or an animal that had a heart attack, ala mita. That they can swear about because they're not responsible for ones, and these are all onasim. But if the animal was lost, or if the animal was stolen, and that we had to question if it's stolen at gunpoint, what's that then? Gazan and so on. But if it was stolen, burglarized, they have to pay for it. So they're mishalim the aveda and the geneva. So now let's see how that plays out in terms of the shvua and the chiyav of a shvua. So now you'd ask a shomer chinam, hey, where is my favorite shor, which I gave to you to take good care of? And the shomer responds, oh my gosh, that poor shor, it died. Oh my gosh, that poor shor broke its leg. Oh my God, that poor shor was captured by marauders. Oh, that poor shor, it was stolen. Oh my gosh, it wandered away through no fault of mine. In all of those cases, what would be the din? Well, what really happened? Well, whatever happened. Either it had died, or it had been captured, or it was stolen, or it wandered away. It would be exactly the same. I don't care. So no matter what the scenario really was, and no matter what he said, it would be the same din. Well, let's say, when we ask him, what happened to it? He said, it was captured, but it wasn't really captured. In reality, it had died, or it broke its leg, or was stolen, or it was lost. But what if the guy responds, it was stolen, but it wasn't stolen. Actually, it had dropped dead, or broke its leg, or it was captured, or it was lost. Or the guy says, oh, you're poor shor, it was lost, but in reality, it wasn't lost. It had dropped dead, or it broke its leg, or it was captured, or it was stolen. So whatever it is, basically, we've just simply gone through all of the variety. So whatever the guy says, and what actually had happened was anything but what the guy had said. Not that it makes a difference, because all cases would have been the same. So no matter what he said, and no matter what had happened, he didn't do anything with this shvua that he made, other than a narrative, which is nothing but fairy tales and has no meaning legally. So in all of those cases, if the guy says, I want you to swear that that's true. Amen, says the guy. Absolutely, it's true. And it certainly wasn't true in any of these cases. It wasn't true. The guy had given an answer that was the one thing that hadn't happened to it. He'd be potter. And that means there's no chiyav of an asham. There's no chiyav of a chomet. And certainly no chiyav for the actual shor. And if what happens is he was moda, no witnesses come, there's no consequences because the shvuah that he made had no legal implication and no financial consequences. What he said was the one thing that was a lie and had not happened. So what? Now let me give you another case. Guy says, where is my dear shor? And the guy says to him, shor? What shor? Don't know what you're talking about. In reality, however, the shor had dropped out of a heart attack, or nishbaro, nishbaro, nignavo, avad, one of the things that would anyway not have been mechayev him. And for some reason, the guy wants to patter himself by saying he doesn't know anything about it. Does it matter? No. Because it, well, one way or the other, even if he would have admitted, yes, I was in charge of your shor, but you know what happened to it? It was made, nishba, nishba, nigna, vavad, whatever. And the guy says, I want you to swear that you don't know anything about it. Amen, I don't know anything about it. Then he comes back and he says, well, I lied through my teeth. I do need him. Doesn't matter. He's still putter because what it is that he said simply did not save him any money anyway. And therefore, it was not the equivalent of a shvuah of kfiras mammon. Where was the mammon? There was no mammon that he was kofer. And therefore, he's potter, even if everything else fits the bill. And he was moda on his own and so on. I'll give you another case. Where's my shor? Oh, your shor. It was lost. Swear that it's true. And he says, amen. Now, we have witnesses. Guy doesn't admit anything. We have witnesses that say, yeah, sure as heck, it was lost in his stomach. We saw him making that shor into a barbecue and eating it up. Me'inim otorsha achlo. What's it in over there? In that case, since he did not admit to lying, there is no din of shvata pikadon, and all he has to do is to be mishalim et hakeren. He's not a ganav that he has to pay kefel. He's a shomer who denied. What's the din of a shomer who denies? He pays whatever he had taken responsibility. So therefore, he's mishalim the keren and only the keren. And why doesn't he have to pay the chomesh? And why doesn't he have to bring a korban asham? Because it was witnesses that brought him and not he himself who did teshuvah and was mitvadeh. And therefore, the whole parsha in the Torah does not apply to him. But in the same case, had he walked into Pesach and said, okay, I lied, I'm wrong, I'm sorry, then he would have to pay not only the keren, he would have to pay an additional chomesh, which is really 25%, a chomesh mila bar. We've been discussing that in our idios, Mishnayos as well. So then he would have to pay the keren plus the chomesh plus the asham for the onesh of a shvuas hapikadon. Now, let's take another case. This case is based on the din of to'ein ta'anat ganav. Now, to'ein ta'anat ganav, remember, if it turns out that he was the ganav, not that actually he had said it was lost and was the ganav, he said it was stolen and he was the ganav. So then we have a special pasuk that tells us that even though in practical terms you think, what's the difference if he said it was stolen or if he said it was avad? But the Torah teaches us that the taina that he has is actually the din that's applied to him. So if he says it was stolen, what's the din of a ganav who stole? He would be chayev kefal. Well, he's claiming it was stolen. And actually, he was the one who stole it. So here he is chayev kefal. So therefore, if he says, hechem shorim, the guy says, it was stolen. Mashbiachani, yomar amin. Come along, witnesses that say, he stole it himself. What's the din over there? Well, over there, he pays kefal. Let's pay double. He didn't shecht it. He didn't sell it, but he stole it. So there's a din of tashlumei kefal on anything that you steal. Now, how about if he walked into Beis Din and he said, look, I lied. I really stole it on my own. Is he chayev kefal? No, because of our famous din, moda beknas patur. So what's the knas? The knas is the double payment. Does he pay it? No, because he admitted it himself. But because he admitted it himself, he now becomes chayev to bring a korban hasham for the shvuas hapikadon that he made over here. It's a shvua of kfiras mamain. So he therefore pays the chomesh as well, even though he doesn't pay the kefa. The kefa was for the stealing, but the chomesh is for the shvua. So he has to bring the asham and he has to pay the chomesh. And this puts it very clearly into focus. Now let's take a case where, just to put the context over here of the different chiyuvim, guy says to somebody, stam, not a shomer of his, where is the shor that you stole? And the guy said, what are you talking about? I never stole your shor. And then the Adim come along and they say he did. So then he would pay kefa. And if the Adim say that not only did he steal it, but he also shechted it or he sold it, then he would have to pay tashlumi arba v'chamisha, because that's the special din that you pay five times as much if you stole a shor. But if the guy sees the Adim coming and he says, oh my God, now they're going to get me, I'm going to have to pay five times as much. And so he runs into the person and he says, I have to admit, I stole that shor. But I never shechted it and I never sold it. So in that case, since he admitted that he stole it, he parted himself from kefel. But once he parted himself from kefel, even if the Adim come along and they say, this guy actually also was chayev arba v'chamisha because he was toveach u'mocher, right? But remember our din. Arba v'chamisha amra Torah v'lo shlosha v'arba'a. So that means that the total, including the kefa, would have had to have been four or five, depending on whether we're talking about a shor or a set. But in this case, there's no four or five. There's only a three or four, because he got himself out of the kefa. And therefore, he would only have to pay the keren. How about if you say to someone who borrowed? Listen, till now we've been talking about the guy who could have patented himself by giving all these answers. What about the opposite case? You say to someone who borrowed, where's that shor? Oh, the guy says, it wasn't my fault. It died from a heart attack. It never died from a heart attack. It actually had broken its leg, or it had been captured by marauders, or it was stolen, or it was lost. Does it matter? No. Because no matter what the shor said, he would be chayev anyway. So by claiming it died of a heart attack, he didn't potter himself from anything. He's basically just giving us a narrative. A shvua on a narrative is meaningless. The same thing is true if he said, oh, your poor shor, it broke its leg. It never broke its leg. It died of a heart attack. Or it was captured. It was nignav or avat. Or the guy says, oh, your poor shor, the marauders came and they took it, nishba, but it wasn't really nishba. It was really mate or nishba or nignav or avad. Or the guy says, you're poor shor. Oh, it was stolen. It wasn't stolen. It actually was mate or nishba, nishba or avad. Or the guy says, you're poor shor. Wandered away, never came home. That wasn't what happened. It died of a heart attack. It was nishba, nishba, nignav. And the guy says, I want you to swear that you're telling the truth. And the guy says, oh, absolutely, amen. He's butter. Because the truth is completely irrelevant on narratives that have no financial implications. And since no matter what had happened to that shor, this guy would have had to happily or sadly pay up anyway, and his shvua makes not the slightest bit of difference. Just for your curiosity to know what happened to your shor, there is no chiyuv in the Torah of a korban asham and a chomesh. It would be putter in this case. But in this case, the funny case that we had in the Reisha actually does make a difference. Because suppose you said, where's my shor? Shor? What shor? I never heard of a shor. Oh my lo, ini yodea mata sahes, what are you talking about, man? And in reality, that shor had been made to nishbar, onishba, onignav, oavad, and the guy says, swear that you don't know anything about it. He says, amen. Ah, now he swore to something that would potter him. Because, I mean, after all, if he's not a shomer, he's not going to have to pay. And he's claiming he was never a shomer. In that case, he would have to pay the Chomesh and the Asham, if he actually on his own is mitvadeh that he did it. Now let's talk about the Biddel cases, the Shomer Sochar and the renter. So, Amar Lenosei Sachar, or to the Socher, where's my Shor? Guy says, oh, it died, there was nothing I could do, we tried mouth-to-mouth resuscitation, nothing helped, you know, it died. But in reality, it had been Nishbar, broke a leg, or it was captured by marauders. Now, it doesn't really make a difference, because a Nosei Socher and a Socher are putter on an ones, and all of these cases are own sins, so no matter what really happened, the guy is only changing a narrative and not changing a patur. So it actually been nishbar on nishbar. Or the guy says, oh my gosh, you're sure it was broken, but it wasn't really, it died of a heart attack, or it was captured. Or he says, oh, it was captured, that's not what happened, it actually died of a heart attack, or it was nishbar. Or he says, now this is the opposite case. Or he says, your shor was stolen. What's the din of a shomer socher who says the shor is stolen? He has to pay, right? So what actually had happened is that it had wandered away. Now, he was embarrassed to say it had wandered away and he had watched it properly and so on. So he said it was stolen. Not that it makes a difference, because whether it was avad or whether it was nignav, he's going to have to pay as a shomer socher. Or he says the opposite. He says, oh, it was avad. In reality, it was stolen. Does it matter? No. So here we have these five cases where it doesn't make any difference, but it does make any difference in different directions. It doesn't make any difference between what he said and what really happened, because either way he's putter, or it doesn't make a difference between what he says and what really happened, because either way he's chayav. What's the difference? Bottom line is, his shvua not makes one whit of a difference other than to the storybooks for the kids. What does that have to do with the court? The court's not interested. So in any of these cases, if he says, you swear, and he says, I swear, amen, he's still putter, because it made no difference. What about if in reality it had died? So it was mate, or maybe it was nishbar or nishba. Those are cases of ones, right? And the guy said, it died where it hadn't died. Actually, it had been stolen and he was responsible. So here he was denying his chiyuv. He says, it was out of my hands. Or it was nishbar or nishba. But in reality, it was nignav or avad. And then the man says, mashbiach ani. And he says, amen. And then he admits that he lied and he would be chayev, because that shvuah was going to potter him from his chiyuv. And he claimed it was an ones, where in reality it was not an ones, it was a gnev or aveda. And the opposite case, where the guy says, oh, you're sure it wandered away or it was stolen. In reality, he was putter because it had died from a heart attack. But he wanted to give this guy money. So he pretended that the shor, yeah, whatever, this is his son, I don't know. So he's interested in giving him money in a way that the person shouldn't feel that I'm giving him money. So he said, oh, I'm going to have to repay you. It was all my fault. In reality, it wasn't his fault. It was mate or a nishba. And the guy says, swear that it's true. And he says, I swear it's true. I mean, he's putter, because even though he swore falsely, he did not swear to putter himself for money. He swore to be machayev himself money. So again, that's not considered to be a tfirat mamon. The only time that you're chayev, the chomesh and the osham, is for a shvua of tfirat mamon. Zaklal. Basically, we've got one general rule, and that is, kol amishaneh michova lechova. Look, if you're changing from one chiyev to a different chiyev, you know, seer, that was the cases, all the cases where the guy said, oh, it dropped dead, and he's a borrower. He's a shoel. Whereas really, had it been hit by lightning, what's the difference? You pay anyway. So if you pay anyway, or if you don't pay anyway, those were all the other cases. The guy says that, oh, you know, it died. It wasn't my fault. And actually been hit by lightning. So either way, it would have been putter. So all those cases, me p'tur, Or this last case, where really you were putter and you pretend that you're chayev and you tell him, I owe you that money. In all of these cases, you would be putter from the asham and from the chomesh. That's the bottom line. If in the only cases where your lie was there to putter you, the chovah leptur, with like the case of where it was nignav from the socher, and in actuality, it was, you were claiming that it died of a heart attack, then you would be chayev if you're moda afterwards. So this is the klal. In his simple terms, if your shvua is getting you out of something and it's makel on yourself, you're chayev. If it's something that is machmer on yourself, then you would be patur. Okay, now, I don't understand this Mishnah. The Mishnah says there's four shomrim. Who the heck holds that there are four shomrim? Says Rav Nachman, Omer Rabba Barvua, it's Rabbi Meir. I'm like, Rabba, what the heck? What are they talking about? Rabbi asked Rav Nachman, I don't know anybody who doesn't hold that there are four shomrim. How can you read the parshios in the Torah and not know that there are four shomrim? What kind of weird question is this? I feel like I'm out of my element here. Mi'ikaman the Tana, the Leslie Arba Shomrim? There's someone who doesn't hold that there are four Shomrim? Oh, my way, Rav Nachman said. Well, when we're talking about, when I answered, I said, you know, it's Rabbi Meir. The question was, you know, I said the question, how can Kamina look up? Man Tana the Omar Socher Kenosei Socher Dami. Who is the author of the Mishnah of Arba Shomrim, in which it takes for granted that the Nosei Sachar and the Socher are the same? Because not everybody holds that. And that's what I was saying, that Rabba Bar Avuha said. That's Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir's Shita is that a Socher has the same din as a Nosei Socher. It'd be Lamaisa, since it says in the Torah, Babischaro, which is very unclear. What does Babischaro mean? That he therefore has the rights of a Shomer Chinam? Does Babas Haro mean that we're giving him the rights of a Shomer Sachar? So it was Rabbi Meir, he's the one who says that he has the din of a Shomer Sachar. But Rabbi Meir, it's just the opposite. Rabbi Meir is the one that says he's a Shomer Chinam. How could you say that? Rabbi Meir, Ibchar Shemina, like, take a look at this Braita. The Tnan, it's actually a Braita, but again, as we mentioned so many times, Tnan is sometimes used for a braita, but whenever it could be used that way, it's always changed by the Maseres HaShas, always changes it to the Tanya. Okay, so Socher, Ketzat Mishalayim, Rabbi Meir Omer Kishar Merchinam. It's the exact opposite. Rabbi Meir is the one who says that a Socher is not like a Shomer Socher, he's only like a Shomer Chinam, and you're telling me the exact opposite. It's Rabbi Yehuda who says that it's Kisim Kenosi Sachar, and he's the one that you should have said the Mishnah is going according to. Well, that's your Girsin. Rabba Baravua Ibchatani. This Braita, that's why Rabba Baravua said, who is it? And that's why we make such a fuss of it, because there were two different Girsaot. And Rabba Baravua's Girsa was that it's after Rabbi Meir who says Kisham Sachar, and it's Rabbi Yehuda who says Kisham Rafina. Okay, now I got another question. You're telling me there's four shomrim, and then you list all of these dinim, and now I see there's really only three shomrim. There's the shomer socher and the socher are the same thing. So why are you telling me that there's four shomrim? I mean, no matter who you hold up, ani arbav or shloshah. So we end up in the Mishnah with three different shomrim. Omer of Nachman, there's four shomrim in the Torah, which are important to understand the nature of the interrelationships that lead to the chiyuvim. It's true that the bottom line in terms of the application of the dinim, there would only be shloshah. We're not talking about the number of dinim of shomrim. We're talking about the number of parashas of shomrim. All right, so now we've got all of these cases. Omer shomer chinam, mechon shori, and then we had that other case, Omer yachon b'shuv, and then Omer shomer, the Shomer Echon Shari, and he said, Inya Diamata Sahri, all of these different cases. Now, what I want to know is, we got these so many cases where it says Potter. Why? Because it didn't make any difference. Why didn't it make any difference? Because whether he had made that Shvur or not, he would have been Potter. But whether he made that Shvur or not, he would have been Chayat. or he made that shvua in order to make himself more chayav, not more pater. Whatever. So it says in all of those cases he's pater. But he's pater, but isn't he making a shvua sheker? So Omar Rav, listen, it doesn't mean he's pater from the shvua shbitut. Kulon ar pturim yishvata shomrim, yes, but there are all cases where he lied, and he's going to have to pay because he made a shvuas bitui. And the shvuas bitui, what does he pay? Carbon or leviyarin. So enoch inami, he's pater from the osham and from the chomesh, but he's chayav because of shvuas bitui. Where Shmuel says no, he is pater across the board. So what exactly is the machlokas? We know what the machlokas is, for heaven's sakes, because we had the full details of this machlokas way back on Daf Kaf Hey, where, remember, where we had a question of how to understand the Torah when it says lahara o lahetir. So that means, remember, that we had to have symmetry in shvuas, remember? And we had a question of whether symmetry in shvuas is also time-symmetrical shvuas, that you have to be able to make that same shvua not only positively or negatively, but you also have to make it forward in time or backwards in time. And according to Shmuel, it has to be time-symmetrical. And according to Rav, it doesn't have to be time-symmetrical. So we now understand what the machlokas is. Very clear. The Makom Eflegit. Shmuel says, look, a shvua that you cannot make in the future, it's not time symmetrical. Can you make a shvua that this shor will be stolen? No. Okay, so then it's not a time symmetrical shvua. So forget it. Bashayenken, like we saw before, there's a shmuel shita. Rav holds you only need positive and negative symmetrical. You don't need time symmetry. So according to him, what's the difference if it's leta balahaba? But it still is belav v'hein, and that's enough to be mechayev you. Hey, can you tell me why we're doing this again? I mean, Rav and Shmuel argued about this. We went through the details. Why are we applying again the machlokas of Rav and Shmuel to this Mishnah in a different context about whether your chayev shvuas bitui in this particular case where you're potter from a shvua of that would be Machayev you and Asham? I mean, it's just, anybody who knows how to read, knows the Gemara before, can use his own brains to apply the machlokas of Rav and Shmuel to the simple question of whether is this case considered to be, albeit not a Shuas HaPikadon, it's Machayev a Shuas Asham, but at least a Shuas Bitui, and therefore to be Machayev a Karbon Olav Yorei. So use your, put on your thinking caps and figure it out. According to Shmuel, if you need time symmetry, well, obviously, there's no way to swear this in the future. According to Rav, you don't need time symmetry. I mean, like, we got to go through the whole discussion again. Could you explain to me why we need to explore this again? The Yiflug B'Chod is in the, we had way back, 25 daf ago, where we said over there, remember the case of the guy who wants to skip pebbles on the pond, right? So the guy says, I make a shvua that so-and-so was seen skipping pebbles on the pond. Shvua shezarak ploni tzor liyam. Or, he did not. Shvua shelo zarak. Rav says, well, if it's a shvua sheker, so then you're chayav. Where Shmuel says it's your potter. Rav says you're chayav, because you can either say he did skip those pebbles, or he did not skip those pebbles. Shmuel says you're potter, because you cannot say he will be skipping pebbles, because you are not a prophet and you have no idea about the future, and therefore it's not time symmetrical. And Shmuel holds you need time symmetry. Now, is that exactly the same machlokas or not? So what am I missing here? Well, I'll tell you what you're missing. This is a very important point. That is a tzrichasam. If I had only had one or the other of these machlokas in, I would not have realized that Shmuel insists on his approach and that Rav insists on his approach. Why? Because let's say we were only told the skipping pebbles case. Okay? That's the one that we started with 25 daffim ago. So Yashmin and Baha, if we knew only that case, I would have said, the reason that Rav said in that case that you're chayav is because the guy made a shvua on his own. He didn't get, come into court and have somebody force him to say Mashbiach Ani or somebody being Tovea him or anything. He made a Shavuah on his own. So in that case, where he makes a Shavuah on his own, this is a big difference. So Mishum de Minafshek or Mishtabea, a person for no reason takes a Shavuah, there he's Chayim. But in the case of the Mishnah, in our case now, Bahach, we're over there, the Bezdin was Mashbiyahim. So then maybe he would be made a Tishmuel, as we're going to see, there's a remez in the Torah, that there's a major difference between somebody who swears on his own. So you put, you back the guy into the corner, and he tells you a narrative, maybe over there, Rav is Mota Tishmuel, that it has to be something that is time symmetrical. Not for the same reason, as we'll see, there's another reason, but he would end up saying the same thing, based on what? Based on Rav Ami. Because Rav Ami said, Kol Shavuah Shadayanim Mashbiyin Oto, In Chayavin Aleil Mishum Shvuat Bitui. If somebody didn't come in on him, on his own, and say a Shvuah, there is no din of Shvuah's Bitui whatsoever. And therefore, I don't agree with him about time symmetry, but I agree with the bottom line that you're potter because there's no Shvuah's Bitui where he was pushed into it. And on the other hand, if we would have known this case, the Mishnah's case, I would have said, maybe Shmuel said over here that you're not Chayev. Maybe Shmuel's reason was not because of time symmetry. That was our original understanding of Shmuel back there, but maybe it's really because the Bezdin made him swear. And he agrees with Rav Ami that you're never Chayev because you're only Chayev where you make that Shmuel on your own. So in the case of the guy who's skipping pebbles, who you made the shvua on the own, on your own, maybe he'd be motivated to Rav that you are Chayav. We can't be sure that it was a question of how to understand the symmetry issue. Therefore, we need both of them. Where do you get the idea from, though? That, where does Rav Ami come off saying that the only time you're Chayav on a shvua's habitui is if you made the shvua's habitui where you're on your own? We never even heard that. We learned the whole Mesechet Shvuas. And now we find out that maybe there's no dinner shvuas bitui. That's amazing. Well, let's take a look. Gufa. Om Rav Ami. Kol shvuah shadayanim mashbiyin ota, ein ba mishum shvuat bitui. Why? Sheneemar. O nefesh ki tishava levatei besvatayim. You know, when it says ki tishava, that means basically if. What does if mean? If he goes ahead and swears. I mean, that means that it's just like, whatever. If he did it, yeah. If he didn't do it, yeah. But if the Bezdin is making him swear, that's not an if. That's an actual swearing. So it would be a nefesh nishba l'sheker. What's the basis of that? The basis is Rish Lakish, the famous mimer of Rish Lakish, which is that the word ki is mishtamesh ba'arba lishonot. It only has four basic meanings. It means if such a thing happens, or it means dilma, that ki tomar, you maybe you'll say to yourself, or it means ki, as of ki'im, that it's rather ki, it's this way, and it means deha, that's the making because of the fact. And in this case, it means, obviously, E. And therefore, since this is not an E, it's an absolute. That's what I would have thought, that was the basis of Shmuel's all din, or that Rav would have been Moda in all of this din. Hechan Shori. So, okay, so the mission goes through various types of denials, and Ishwas HaShemrim, and Armelo Eni Yodeyam, Atasach was the final one. And the question was, where are all of these cases didn't actually make any nafkamina? Because he said something that anyway he would be putter on, or anyway he would be chayav on, so it didn't matter. It happened to be, it was a lie. But it wasn't a lie that saved him any money. So Omar Rav, v'kulan peturin mishvuas hashemrim, v'chayavim mishum shvuas bitui. Since it's a lie, so even though you're putter from shvuas hashemrim, but you would be chayav, as if it were any other shvuas bitui. It's a lie, so you have to bring a korban. V'shmul omer, af pitulim mishum shvuas bitul. You're even putter from the din of shvuas bitul. V'maikam yiflegei. Shmuel sever lesser balaha bo. So according to Shmuel, remember we had, the Gemara is going to point out that we had this machlokas before, that a shvua has to be time symmetrical in order for it to be chal. So in other words, you need to be able to make the shvua la'atid in the same way that you make it la'avar. And since there's no way that you could make a shvua that's dependent on someone else doing something, what are you going to say? This animal will be stolen by someone, and we can't make that shvua, right? That's a mechanical act that's not in your hands to do. Rebbe, I can't, you take away all the fun of looking at a Rebbe. I have to bend all the way over there. Good heavens, come closer. Anyway, Rebbes are supposed to be like in the forefront, in the spotlight. And there's no way to avoid it. It's part of the Messiah. You know? So therefore, according to Shmuel, if it doesn't work in both directions, then it isn't considered to be a valid shvuas bitui that the Torah gave you the ability to be nishban. So in the same way that it says lahara leitiv, which we understand according to everybody, definitely means that it has to be reversible. You could say, I will not. Right? The same way you say, I did not. So therefore, according to Shmuel, you need both. You need to be able to say, I will eat the cookie in the cookie jar, in order to be able to say, I did eat the cookie in the cookie jar. You need to also say, I will not eat the cookie in the cookie jar, in order to be able to say, I did not eat the cookie in the cookie jar. Right? So it needs to be both lahara leitev, and it also has to be le'atid ula'avar. That's Shmuel's shita. So that would explain why over here he would say you're putter from shvuas bitui, because all of these shvuas hashemrim, obviously it's not in your hands to get it stolen by somebody and so on. So you can't make that shvua. So Shmuel safar lesa balahaba, whereas Rav safar, you don't need that it should be time symmetrical. You only need that it should be isei belav vehein. Ask the Gemara, but we already had this machlokas before. V'fliga b'chodazim, nadit mashvua shezorak pluni, tzor liyam, shvua shelo zorak, Rava Marchai of Shmuel Amar Potter. So here the question is, I make a shvua that somebody threw a pebble into the brook. I can't make a shvua that he will throw a pebble into the brook. So Mimela, according to Shmuel, you're Potter. And according to Rav, you're Chayiv, which is the same exact machloka. Say, Yal Roi, Yal Yisver. I see you're dreaming away. That's because you're not with Gavi. But the Gavi's here on the screen. So Rav Amar Chayev, Shmuel Amar Potter. Rav Amar Chayev over there also. The Yisab Alavahim, Shmuel Amar Potter, the Lesa, Bilabo. So why do we need both? We need both because Tricha. Diashmina Bahobo, Kamarav, Yishum, Diminavshe, Kamishtabeya. So in this case over here, where we're talking about a Shvua, if we're talking about that case of the so and so threw a pebble, that you're making a Shvua on your own. Mashinke, in the cases that we have over here, we have a Shvua that Bezdin was Machayev to make. And so maybe in that case, maybe he would be made at the Shmuel that you're potter. Why would he be made? Because Rabbi said, "Kavavami dum Rabbi kol shvuas adayoni mashmin ota in chayavina lo mishum shvuas bitui." Because it has to be a shvua. We'll see what we learned this from the word ki. It has to be a shvua that just you decided that this is the way it's going to be. You made the shvua. Mashenkin Bezdin forces him. Come on. If Bezdin forces you to make the shvua, so then you're not included. So that's what we thought that it meant. And if it would have told us that case, I would have said, okay, maybe that's why Shmuel said that you're potter, because of Rabbani. But maybe in the case of the pebble, skipping the pebble, so maybe it would be made, because maybe his svar is not based on needing it to be time symmetrical. Therefore, tricha. Okay, where does Rabbani get it from? Gufam Rabbani kol shvua shadayona mashminota en bo mishum shvuas bitui. Shenemar, O nefesh ki tishava levate besvasayim. So ki means me'atzmo. Why does it mean me'atzmo? Because he learns ki to be like Rish Lakish. Yom Rish Lakish ki mishtamesh be'arba l'shonot I dilma ela deha. So the Bela, according to what it was that the way Rish Lakish understands it, in Rabbi Ami's understanding, that since it says ki tishava, it means that this is something that he went ahead and decided to do on his own So therefore, it's nothing. It just happened that way. Hashem gave if Bezin forces you to do it, so then it's not going to be a good raya to be mechayev Yeshua. And Rabbi Eliezer, I mean, kulan peturim mishuatz shemrim v'chayavim mishum shuatz bitvim. Hashem gave Rabbi Eliezer holds that key over here actually means daha. So because you made a shvua, so therefore you will be chayev. Not if you make the shvua, and then you made the shvua in the case of shvua zadayani. The only case where you will not be is the case that we started with over here after the two dots, which is any idea matasach. I have no idea what you're talking about. So you say, I have no idea what you're talking about, so then you actually saved yourself money. Because you say there never was bikurin at all if it was a case of a shoel, because the shoel, of course, would be chayev no matter what had happened. He says it never happened, so then he's pottering. So if he's pottering himself, so then that's a standard chiyev of Eshvua Sabikonim. So you're not chayev on Eshvua Sabitui, but the Torah is b'chayev you on Eshvua Sabikonim. And the one other case was where a Shemir Socher swears on Gneva Vaveda, where over there, if he swears that it was Gneva Vaveda, he's pottering himself. So that's a Kfiras moment. So this is a Kfiras moment. Those are the only two cases in the Mishnah where it makes a difference monetarily what the Shvua was that you made. Hadron Allah, Arba'a Shomrim. Where's Richie when you need him? Come on, Rich. Hey, Rich. Oh,
it's not a function. I don't know what.
No, it's a great, it's a great Blinetta. Thank you.
Sorry,
we couldn't finish our Masechet without Rich.
Without a Blinetta, yeah. For me. Yeah, no.
Okay, Baruch Hashem, it's wonderful to see you.
Sorry. I tend to get a little dozy here.
Yeah, I'm supposed to be next to you over there. What is happening on the porch?
Well, Rabbi, there's a chair rating right here for you, you know.
Okay, so Hadron Allah Harvash Omrim, Mislikala, Mesechet Shavuot, Hadron Allah, Mesechet Shavuot, Hadrachalon, Daitan Allah, Mesechet Shavuot, Daitachalon. Lord, in the Sheminach, Mesechet Shavuot, Vot, in the Sheminan Lobama, Dain, the Lobama, the Athi. Hadron Allah, Mesechet Shavuot, Vadachalon, Daitan Allah, Mesechet Shavuot, Daitachalon, Lord, in the Sheminach, Mesechet Shavuot, Vot, in the Sheminan. Lobama, Dain, the Lobama, the Athi. Hadron Allah, Mesechet Shavuot, Vadachalon, Daitan Allah, Mesechet Shavuot, Vadachalon. Lord, in the Sheminach, Mesechet Shavuot, Vot, in the Sheminan. Lobama, Dain, the Lobama, the Athi. Yeratzo milfanech, I do know Eloheinu, v'layavathinu, sh'teitor otachomunu, thinu bolam hazeh, v'teheimanu lolam haba. Chanina bar papa, Rami bar papa, Nachum bar papa, Achoy bar papa, Abba Mori bar papa, Raphram bar papa, Rochish bar papa, Surcha bar papa, Ada bar papa, Daro bar papa. In Kavi, you were supposed to be there. Oh, well. Arevna, Adonai Eloheinu, divrei Torat HaRabbeinu, v'fi otam mecha beit Yisrael, v'nihye kulonu anachnu mitzetzeinu. V'tzetzei amecha beit Yisrael, kulonu yodei shimecha v'lo midei Toratecha. Mi'oyevaitecha, k'meini mitzvotecha, k'ili olam ili. Yihi libi yithami b'chukecha l'ma'an lo evosh. L'olam lo eshkach p'ikudecha, ki bom chithan, imoruch, ato Adonai, l'medeni chukecha. Bodim anachtu lefanech, Adonai Eloheinu v'leyavuthinu, shesamta chalkinu miyoshevei beit hamidrash, v'osamta chalkinu miyoshevei kronot, sh'onu mashkimim ve'im mashkimim, onu mashkimim lidivrei Torah, ve'im mashkimim lidvorim betelim, onu amelim ve'im amelim, onu amelim umekabelim sechar, ve'im amelim ve'inam mekabelim sechar, onu ratzim ve'im ratzim, onu ratzim lechaye olam haba, והם רצים לבאר שחת, שנאמר, ויתה אלוהים תורידים לבאר שחת, אנשי דומים ומרבה לא יחצו ימיהם, ואני אבטח בוך. יהי רצון בלפניך, אדוני אלוהינו, כשם שעזרתנו לסיים מסכת שבועות, כן תעזרנו להתחיל מסכתות וספרים אחרים ולסיימם, ללמוד וללמד, לשמור ולעשות ולקיים את כל דברי תלמוד תורתך באהבה. וזכות כל התנאים והמוראים ותלמידי חכמים יעמוד לנו לזרענו, שלא תמוש התורה מפינו, מפי זרענו וזרע זרענו עד עולם, ותתקיים בנו, ותלכך תנחה אותך ושאוך בך תשמור עליך והקיצות ותשיחך, כי וירבו ימיך ויוסיפו לך שנות חיים, אורך ימים בימיה, בשמאלה עושר וכבוד, אדוני עוז לעמו ייתן, אדוני יבורך את עמו ושלום. How do you do?
Amen. Amen.
Bin kol bir kadar ve şirada tuşlu kadar ve nehmet adam irabi oma avim u alem. İsrail ve yav Rabbanan ve yav tamideyon. Ve yav kol tamidey tamideyon ve yav komandi oskin ve yav rayet adi ve yav tva kadish adem. Ve di ve kol atar ve atar. Yehilo nukon shalom rabo chida ve chista. Ve rach ame ve chaye arichei ve zoner vichei. Ufur kanamin kadom avod, mishmaya liyaravim lomim.
Amen.
Yeish mamarabam mishmaya v'chayim togim alinu v'yapko Yisrael vim lomim.
Amen.
V'se shalayim bimreim avu ya'ase shalom alinu v'yapko Yisrael vim lomim.
Amen.
Which is this, the breaking forth of Tehu. And that's that incredible Gemara about the Rabbah Bar Bachana, where they make fun of Rabbah Bar Bachana, you know. They call him a Meshuggah, and how could he possibly be so stupid? Because it says in the Gemara Baba Basra that one of the things that he was going along, and he comes to Har Sinai, and he hears a baskol. The baskol says, Oili shenishbati, hachshav shenishbati, mi mefer li. So, okay, and he doesn't do anything. He comes to the back home, he comes to Beis HaMedrash. They say to him, you know, there's lots of chamors in this world, but none as big as Rabbah Bar Bar Chana. You would have been able to be made for HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shvu, and then we would have had a golos, and everything would be okay, and he would have restored the Adoyim. What is the matter with you, Meshuggah? Says Rabbah Bar Bar Chana. I was concerned. Maybe it was the Shua of the Mamble. So maybe it was the original Shua. If I'd be made for that Shua, we're finished. So they say to him, but then HaKadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't have said, Oili, I'm not Oili. Right? So Oili is that his mission. That's got to come from this. But it just gives you a sense of how incredibly, like non-embedded is the reality that we take for granted. These are like, oh, gosh, my words, like something, you know. And no, just if he would be made for the Shavuos, that would be the end, you know. Okay, so we're back to a completely random world in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu bring a marble tomorrow. It's unbelievable. That's all that it takes is a hafora. But, I mean, the truth is that it's much more than that, because what we have over here, remember, the whole idea of Masechet Avodah Zarah is that it focuses on the growing havdola between Yisrael and Ha'amim. Right? So that's what it's all about. Mibachem Yagid Zeis, and the way that each nation has to say over, the Yitnu Hedein, the Yitzdoku, and in the end they have to come, and they have to be made to the supremacy of Yisrael, which of course is what the Parsha is all about, the Bilam HaRosha's admission, and in Am Levadad Yishkon, and so on. But that is ultimately defined, the entire relationship is defined in the Gemara Ksuvos by Shavuos. Those are the Shalosh Shavuos that the Gemara brings, right? Shalosh Shavuos halolu lama. Achas was the Shal Yalu Yisrael b'chayma. Achas yishbi HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael shalo yimredu b'umot olam. V'achas yishbi HaKadosh Baruch Hu taguyim shalo yishtabdu ben b'Yisrael yoter midai. It was in the breakdown of that relationship, which was after the Holocaust. It was no longer a shalo yishtabdu yoter midai. And that's where we have the Aliyah of Bechoma to fight for the independence from the Umayyads. And since then, it's been a growing battle because of the breakdown of the Shavuos. Even initially, the relationship was mamash in terms of Shavuos, which brings us to the Acharis HaYomim that we overhear. Literally, he uses those words. I'm going to tell you what's going to be about Acharis HaYomim, and that's going to be the Darach Kochav Yaakov. But meanwhile, it's the Amkel of Yakum and so on, which are the gradual transitions. So I was thinking, Bechol, that the closing over here of Reish Lakish and his Svara of needing these time-symmetrical Shavuos is an incredible idea because it transitions directly into the idea of Bullock. Right? Because what he is saying is, if you want to have mechanical input into the future, so I will not eat the cookie in the cookie jar. Right? Mechanical, you want to be able to do something, right? So you're making a Shavua, I will eat the cookie in the cookie jar. I will not. You have to be able to also have a consistent history of the past. You have to be able to say, I did not, or I did, and vice versa. If you want to be able to say, I will, then it's only because you can actually say, I did, or I did not. But that's an unbelievable idea. So is it points of a relationship of Shavua to a presence within a world of Chok? If you have a world that doesn't have that, and there's nothing innate in reality that's mechayev that, in other words, the entire nature of physics is not mechayev that at all, but what it is that you saw about the future now has something to do with what it is that you thought about the past. That's essentially a Newtonian commitment, but it's not innate in nature at all, right? You understand what I'm saying? You're looking at me confused. The interrelationship between past and future is only where you're embedded in the nature of a world that follows the presence and essentially the presence of the Shem Hashem, which is the Shechina, which is the Shavua. That's the nature of Shmila Shav in Shavua. It's only that, as the Rambam says in the Chassidus Aliyat Torah, it's only that that gives you the right to say that the world is a place in which the Gagal is a misoveiv without any tachlis, without any end. You don't know that. Why are you saying that?
I have no idea. I was wondering.
So the point of it there is you're only able to say that because of the fact of the clarity that the nature of history as you see it is only because there is an Adon that has put this into effect. There's nothing innate about it, right? Why do you believe, therefore, that it's true? It can't just be because of the fact that you have a long history. I mean, what's a long history? A few billion years. I mean, that's a joke. When it doesn't mean anything. It doesn't have any external reality. So that's Gufa, what the Rambam is saying. In the same way that you have the knowledge of the idea of the existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu without it's being told you, right? The fact that you heard those kolos is ipso facto as the Anochi Hashem Elokecha. That's how the Rambam understands the entire thing in terms of the most direct experience that's possible. So that means your experience of the nature of reality is completely predicated not on experience alone, historical experience, but on the fact that you know that that Odin is present in that experience, the same way that you know that it's present in your own existence. It's exactly the same idea. That's what the Rambam is saying. So the idea of Anoichi is the idea that tomorrow you're not going to wake up to a world without Chok. Right? So that's why he says that this Motzui is Eloi HaKol HaOretz and so on, and he's Misavi V'Sagalgal. It's because of that that you know that it's Ein Lo Ketz, Ein Lo Tachos, and so on. Right? But that's only because of Od Kol Yisrael Lam, right? And in fact, the Chazal are medayik from that you see from here that it's not innate. It's only as long as there's Yumoto Olam. So whatever that Yumoto Olam is, but it's only a limited idea. But whatever it is, it's not the nature of being. It's the nature of the Olam, and that Olam is built on that shame. That's why the Rambam, from that point on, keeps referring to the Motzui as the Shem, from that point on, right? So it's the Hashem HaGadol VaNechbad. That is the transition into the same Geder HaShavua. Does that make more sense?
Yeah.
What? What?
How does that transition into Shvuah?
Because that's what Shvuah is. Shvuah is the including the Shem Hashem in my vision of this is so real to me that I'm ready to say that this is B'Shem Hashem, this is true. And that's an unbelievable thing. So really now, no wonder Nizdaza Kolagonim, what do you know about anything? So yeah, you're absolutely convinced. I swear in God's name, no, not. A total nut, as it says. Even a person is Nishba La'emes, he's got to be insane to do such a thing, right?
Bilam's ability to,
sorry?
So Bilam's ability.
Oh, well, we'll get to that. That's okay. 1 second. Step by step. I don't want to go too late because, anyway. Okay, so then what that means is that the very nature of Chokuzman, San Lahem, Shalishanu, is Tafkidam, which we say, Mamish, you know, that's the Birka Silvana that we say, or the. That's all because of the Ot Kol Yemei Ha'aretz. That's the Shvuah and the Bris of Ot Kol Yemei Ha'aretz. That's the reason, by the way, for an amazing thing, that in the Haftarah, this is very important for you. In the Haftarah, it says that it says a very strange thing. Instead of saying the normal thing, which is always the Asos Mishpat, Tzedakah, Chesed, and so on, right? Over here, it's Ahavat Chesed. What is that supposed to mean? I mean, is it a mitzvah of Asiyas Chesed or not? So what, I can only do it if I'm Oyev. No, that's not the point at all. The Ahavat Chesed is a completely and totally different experience than doing Chesed. Ahavat Chesed means that you actually love Chesed. In other words, you recognize that the nature of love is itself mevusas in chesed. And therefore, if you love this, you're coming directly into contact with an olam chesed yibane. So a person who is oyev chesed is always experiencing a new love experience. Always. Because whatever it is that he sees is part of the ava which gave him the kayak to be oyev chesed in the first place. It's an amazing experience because it completely continues to expand the ava's chesed. That is the nature of embeddedness. So where your own ava becomes an expression of the nature of the chesed of bria, then it's similar to what the inyanim are that we're learning here in Bilam, as we'll see. So the insistence in Maseches Avodah Zarah of the need for the havdolah miYisrael in such a depth in a history that spans all of Maaseh Bereishis. And that Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and so my separation is up until Yom HaDin HaGadol, that the Masechet begins with the Yitnu Edeihem and so on. So the clue of that Havdolah is that there should be absolutely no ability for there to be a Taina. Right? There has to be Atzur Tamim Po'alo in their view. That's why Yitnu Edeihem, they have to be made that that's true, which of course is what happens over here where Hinam. I mean, I'm the Vadadishkon of Bilam. But because of that, since everything needs to be, in their terms, fair, so you needed to have the Zorach Miseir Lomo, you needed to be able to offer them the mitzvah Kala Yeshli, and so on, and to explain to them that they could have an opportunity also of Kofalim Archagigis, and so on. And in order to be fair, that's what spawns Balak. I mean, Parashas Balak, Bilam, right? Because I mean, that's what the Midrash says. That Hatsur Zeshomar Kosov, Hatsur Tamim Palo, Kehod Rachav Mishpat, Loiniacha Kadosh Baruch Hu of De Kochavim, Pitchon, Pel, Atid Lavo Lomar, Atari Haktonu. Masa Kadosh Baruch Hu, Keshem Shemid Melochim, Vechachomim, Venevim, Li Isro, Kach Hemid Loiv De Kochavim. And goes through history and shows that the Nevim, that's exactly was Maimid Moshe Rabbeinu, and it was Maimid to them. The story here of Bilam, and okay, you see what they did with that. But Lamaisa, it's part of the Masechet itself. But the contrast is, and that is, I think, what Moshe was about to talk about, that Bilam's approach to a broader reality, where he believes that Mikra can actually form part of a consistent reality of Yesharim, obviously, he has no cognizance of the nature of that shame as being something that has to be defined and has no room for Mikra. So that comes from, it's very similar to the idea of the, I mean, it's really similar to Amalek, which is the Ayin, Yesh Hashem HaGivinim Ayin. He doesn't realize until we have the recognition of a chokhmah, the ayin timatze, that ayin itself, being the moker of what it is that we see of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's bria, which is begetter the shvua, means that it comes from outside of what you would recognize as being an observer within the system. That's the humakim shalayla. It has to come from the simple nature of chokhma me'ayin and not part of a way in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to show the bria. So that means it's an expression that goes all the way back to coming from outside of bria. It's a Rabbeinu Bachi with the bays, with the bottom of the bays extending into ayin, and that's the mokar. He's not makir that. And that, of course, because of that, he misses out on the Adam Ayin, which is that the only way to actually have a shlemus of Adam is where the Adam himself is able to incorporate that Hanaga in his own vision of reality. That's the real destiny of Yisrael as Adam Atem. And because of that, he misses the Humakai Mashal Olam, that it's from outside. Instead, the observer's particular point of view, he believes, is Koveya reality. Mm. Right? And it is. In other words, if you're stuck within a system, then your particular, that's why he's always looking for an angle. Let's look at this angle. Let's look at that angle. Because the difference of the angle, in terms of the actual physics of it, whatever question you're asking about the nature of reality and how you set up the experiment, that's the angle. And that angle is Koveya the results. So as far as he's concerned, the ideas in which he has are much broader than the ideas of Moshe Rabbeinu. Because Moshe Rabbeinu is stuck, essentially, with, you know, whatever he believes to be the nature of reality. I am open to much more of that. And because of that, the observer's particular point of view is always called the Eitza, or the Atzas Bilam. L'cho v'i Atzacha. I'll give you a way to look at this. I'll tell you what to do about it. The Atzas Meraglim, right? Or by all Rishoyim, you have it's always like I've got a way of looking at it, and I can enforce that way of looking at it. And therefore, the truth is that that's formed, once it's formulated by the Shem Hashem, and he is Mekema Shel Olam, what a person inside the system thinks is irrelevant. And that's the reason that we have the whole idea of who Mekema Shel Olam showing up on Har Sinai, in the Sinai Satera itself. Right? That's all the midrashim come from there, which is amazing. Because like this, it just sounds like a cute little thing. But the understanding on this level means that it's fundamentally anti-mikra at the beginning. And that's, by the way, the beginning of the next parak, which is the story of Pinchas, which ends up being the hafara of the Eitzah of Bilam here, is considered to be because of Migdal Oz Shem Hashem. That's how the Rabbeinu Bach introduces the whole parasha of Pinchas, that he's able to be Ratz, B'Shem Hashem, and he brings the reason that this is successful is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mekayem Hashem Olam, which if you don't understand what that has to do with it, it's like, what? This is B'Shem Hashem, why does he have to be Mekayem Hashem Olam? Okay, but Pashtus, because wherever you are, that Shem Hashem is going to be present. He's saying it in a way that means more than that, right? Okay, so that we find again and again. What?
Did you say the fast was over?
Yeah, yes, I said the fast is over at 8:06. You can go eat something. Yeah. So in that sense, the entire Masechet of Shavuos that we just completed is meant to be, I'll finish in a couple
of minutes. It's
the opposite of Masechet Aveda Zohar, right? So it's reconstructing the Humakai Mashalayla on Har Sinai and recognizing the amazing reality that all of the mitzvahs on Har Sinai is because of Shavuos. Mushba ve'emed mi'ar Sinai. And that in the end, the difference between the ziyazua of the olam, the physical ziyazua of the Yiridus HaShekhinah on Har Sinai is directly related to this ziyazua of the olam of the Lo Yinakeh Hashem. Because it's that presence that's innate in Bria itself, that is what makes it, we don't have time. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that means that according to Bilam, that loss of underlying structure, which is innate in Bilam's rega. It means that there's essentially a built-in rega in which, as Rashi says here, in which you think that you can change what it was that was Nishbar Lehem. That's why when Bilam says, Lo Ish El V'yechazeh, what does that mean, V'yechazeh? Kvar Nishbar Lehem. So how do you expect that to be able to change? At Sofur La'amitem Ba'amidbar, if he was already Nishbar Lehem, that is going to be Machnisim Teret Yisrael, it makes no sense. It would be a violation of Shvuah. That means that Guf and Bilam recognizes that ultimately the problem is exactly the problem we defined. You cannot change a Shvuah. And that's the idea that he believes that thing is the greatest threat to the very existence of Yisroel, and that's the Ami Zichorna Mayaatz, if there would be such a thing that's possible. So then that's the point. There is no simple assumptions. Without Shvuah, there are no simple assumptions. The idea is of the... There's an interesting quote from this guy, Fraser, who writes about the overall development of quantum physics. So he points out that the only alternative is essentially Bilam, without realizing he described it, says, the position of causality in science is not one without problems. I mean, on the one hand, deterministic causation is an inviolable assumption of scientific thought. Its alternative would be magic or religion, which is exactly Bilam. He's a religious magician, essentially. On the other hand, our most complete theory of matter cannot admit events which must follow an antecedent, only events which might follow an antecedent. So how can we have anything that, which is exactly what Rish Lakish was pointing out, right? There was only the interrelationship between those two things. That magical thinking is exactly the position of Bilam, the religious magician. Okay, so I just wanted to point out these things. After Myra, we'll take a look at the connection, and I hope we'll have time, to Bilam, to the all the elements, Bichlal, of Shavuos and Avodah Zarah, these relationships, obviously the overall relationship of Yisrael V'Ami, and his connection not only to the central theme of Shavuos V'Tamos, which is the Shavuos Haluches and so on, which we've been talking about for 25 sad Shavuos V'Tamos so far, but also all the other inyanim of Shavuos V'Tamos, the Bitul HaTami, the Sefer Satira, the Amada Shalom Be'echo, and the loss of Yerushalayim. And I'll finish this piece of our first part of the discussion of Masechet Shavuos, so that we can daven Ma'ariv and eat, and Gabi can send our regards and wonderful wishes to the whole family of Rafapo Bonhoeffers. It's amazing to see him, to be mamish in the Ma'ariv of Rafapo. It's like, wow, beautiful, beautiful. Excellent. Okay, thank you so much. We'll see you, Bezrat Hashem, later. I gave you a separate link, so I'll open up that link. Bezrat Hashem. Thank you so much, everybody. Amazing.